She's married to the kid from Spy Kids?
Yeah.
I don't know that.
But it's part of like a run-on joke that she has where she's like, she like shows the rooms and it's like these glass cases of something all displayed. And then one of them is his outfit from the movie. She's okay. Like, my husband is from Spy Kids. Fuck.
Yeah. Actually, it's kind of on brand today. Isn't he the kid from the first Rob Zombie Halloween movie that, like, the bully?
No idea.
Could be wrong on that one. I want to say in the first Rob Zombie Halloween movie, he, like, bullies Michael Myers when he's a little kid, and then Michael Myers kills him. It's, like, his first kill.
Oh, my God. No, I have no idea. I just know him from Spy Kids and being Meghan Trainor's husband. That's about it.
Thank you so much for this Slurpee. It's delicious.
You're welcome.
I haven't had a Slurpee in a little while.
I used to order 7-Eleven all the time, and then I became broke. So I just don't. But I did. Right now, it's Starbucks. When I have a long day and I got to wake up at like 8 in the morning and I don't have an Etsy store at the minute, but when I did, I was designing for literally from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And I would get Starbucks and it's like $10. I'm like, holy fuck.
I love how you're like, no, I can't order 7-Eleven because I'm broke. So instead I order Starbucks.
But I order Starbucks once a week and it's $10.
Okay.
7-Eleven was like,
sure.
Anytime I feel like it, which is like 3 times a week,
yeah.
It got really bad. And then I would deliver movie theater popcorn.
Ooh.
If I wanted to watch a movie. Yep. But you made me watch a movie every week.
Yeah.
So every week I would just have movie theater popcorn.
So that got expensive real quick.
Yeah, it's kind of expensive, but I mean, it's good.
Brain freeze. I got a brain freeze real bad right now.
I don't.
I'm drinking it too fast.
Well, then stop.
It's too delicious.
You are drinking it really fast. I'm only 3 quarters.
It's so delicious. Ah, my face.
I made you look.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a new episode. This week we're doing the Rob Zombie trilogy. I don't know. What do we call it? I guess the Firefly trilogy?
That's what I was going to call it.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, right? Like, the Firefly trilogy makes a lot of sense to me. So, it's a trio of films that Rob Zombie did about a particular set of characters. They're all kind of horror movies, but not really. Like, some of them are, I don't know. We'll get into it, I guess. But yeah, like, I don't know. It starts out as like a horror film, but then like as it goes on, it almost turns into like a Western almost. Like the last two movies.
It really did.
Like, yeah.
The last movie for sure.
Yeah. Like it goes like, yeah. Like the second movie is kind of like a nice little straddle between horror and like Western. And then the third one's pretty much just a straight up Western. Like it's so. Anyway, yeah. No, interesting movies. So the three movies we're talking about. House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects, Three from Hell. Ashley, what did you think? No spoilers, you know, non-spoiler section before we... Just overall.
So, I have seen Devil's Rejects
okay.
many times. I have not seen the other two movies, so... I just got an email and it's like, Josh is coming to Rochester, minute or whatever, and it's like... Can you give me a little more like detail?
Why are you emailing me
who
about
is
this?
Josh? Josh who? Josh from where? It's just like, Josh is coming. I'm like, I need tickets.
Oh, boy. Is there a celebrity just named Josh?
I don't know.
Like, if this guy capitalized on just Josh.
Could you imagine, like, Cher?
Yeah, but, like, at least Cher is kind of original.
An odd name? Yeah.
Josh. Josh. Imagine I just ran around Steve.
Like, who's Steve? Steve?
No, it's not just Steve. It's the. Like, it's just Steve.
Steve.
It's like, whoa.
I doubt that's the case. So, I have seen Devil's Rejects. I've not seen the other two. So, if you've been around for a minute, you know that we did Finding Number One. And yeah. I'm not a fan of old movies. And that first Rob Zombie film. Just like has that era feeling to it.
Well, they all kind of do.
No,
I find the Devil's Rejects.
That first movie.
Okay.
Not no, I'm good. So we're gonna skip to the other two movies.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and yeah. So I did like number two. I loved the characters more.
Yeah.
The character development better in number two.
Sure.
Number three is just a throwaway. I don't even know why it exists.
I agree 100%.
So it's just Devil's Reject should have been its own movie by itself, period. And instead, now you attached it to like a movie that was
inferior, almost. Yeah. A sequel that is it's okay. A
sequel is 100% better, and that is so rare to say.
Oh, like Devil's Rejects? Yeah. Like, here's the thing. Okay, so
Harry Potter did that.
What's that?
I think the Chamber of Secrets and like Prisoner of Azkaban. Yeah. I think they all get better as they continue.
The first one's pretty good, though. It's got a pretty good base to it.
No, I like that they get better every time they... Anyways,
continue. Okay, no, that's cool. It's just... it's an opinion. No, so, like, Cards on the table...
I'm not saying the first one's not a good movie.
Sure.
Don't come at me. You do not know where I live. Continue.
Cards on the table. I really, really like House of a Thousand Corpses. Like, I really like it. I think it's a fucking excellent movie. I love old horror movies. So, like... It hits all those right notes for me. And then I watch The Devil's Rejects, and I love the balls that it's just like, oh, yeah, no. We're going to do something completely different.
Yeah.
We're going to do something that's like a complete tonal shift to the point where he's changing characters up.
Yeah.
Like, he set up shit in House of a Thousand Corpses that's like, oh, yeah, no, that doesn't make sense in this world that we created for Devil's Rejects. So we're just going to ignore it.
That's funny. Like, I wonder what you're talking about. Well, spoilers.
Probably. Not really a big spoiler, but, like, example, in the first movie, Otis Driftwood's albino. He's got, like, white skin.
Yeah.
And in the second one, he doesn't. And you're thinking, like, oh, maybe it was, like, face paint or something. But it's like, no, he addressed it. He's like, yeah, no. Like, we just did a test with him with albino skin. It just doesn't work in the real world. In like the world that we created for the House of a Thousand Corpses, where it's like super, you know, fantastical. And it's like, oh, it's like a, supposed to be like a B horror flick. It kind of makes a lot of sense. But in like a neo-Western, it doesn't.
Fair though, the Otis and Devil's Rejects makes more sense to me than the first one.
Well, it's because he pretty much becomes Charles Manson in the second one. I feel like maybe not though.
That is a great pair,
yeah,
like a person though.
He just looks like, and then especially the third one, it's like, oh yeah, no, yeah. He like is pretty much Charles Manson in some of those shots.
Feel like the first movie he was very like, I don't know, like he's like the creepy scientist supposed to be creepy,
yeah,
murderer, whatever. But the second one, it's like, I don't know. Something about him is a whole different character, and I like it better. It's not as comical.
Sorry, Slurpee. I hear you. No, I hear you.
I don't know. I just like his character. I like the actor. I like everything better as Otis in the second one.
Okay.
Right. Other than that, what else?
Well, there's a couple of other things, but I just don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
But,
because I know Tiny is in the first one, but he's not in the second one.
At least in the second one.
Yeah, but
Okay, spoilers, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, but like, it's not spoilers though. He's just not around in the second movie.
He's not around for most of it.
Right, because the three are gone.
Yeah.
And that's not a spoiler. They left.
He does show up. He's in the very beginning.
So for the first movie, I get to actually like meet Tiny, which was kind of cool because I only knew him.
Oh, that's a good point.
That in the second movie. So then I'm like, oh my God, I actually saw personality. I actually found out what kind of person he was compared to the other characters. So that was nice for me.
I guess watching it that way is kind of interesting. If you watch The Devil's Rejects, you watch it enough times that you kind of know the characters and you're like, oh, like example, like Rufus he's a big character in the first one too. And it's like, oh, like, I don't know. I don't know. It's like, it's cool.
The mother too for me. The mother was like, I met her in Devil's Rejects.
It's different actress in the first
movie. I completely understand that, but for X amount of time.
Yeah.
And then in the first one, she's in this whole entire movie. So it's like kind of cool where I can like finally understand the characters better. And it doesn't explain why they are the way they are. I would love to understand that. Oh,
they're just psychotic. They're just.
Yeah, like... but okay. So I will say this too. I couldn't stand Baby's personality in the first one.
So I'm going to bring that up. I agree with you. No, not that I agree with you. I can stand her personality in the first one. It wasn't until I watched Three from Hell yesterday that I was like, oh man, she gives a completely different performance every single movie.
Yes.
Like she goes to 12 in all three of these movies, and every single one of them, she's a completely different character. And I think that's so interesting.
Like the first one, she's so maniac. She's just like, so ridiculous, trying to fuck with your brain.
Yeah.
And then the second one, she's still like Harley Quinn-ish, where she's still like being quirky.
Yeah.
But she's like very serious. And the third one, she's a whole different, like,
she's,
I'm here for fucking business.
See, I think of it like, okay, in the first one, she's very much like, oh, no, you're my mouse. I got you. Like, I'm the cat. You're the mouse. I got you. Like, you're fucked. So she just fucks with people. That's like her thing. Whereas in the second one, because it's more of like they're on the run.
Yeah.
She has to use her brain a little more. So she like, she's the same character, but she's a little more strategic about it. You know, she's not. She's kind of the mouse in this one. So she's
that's
like,
fair. Yeah.
And then the third one, she's just fucking out to lunch. Bonkers. Yeah. She's out. Yeah. She's,
I love Zombie A, eh? Cause he keeps putting his wife in like these, we never said that, by the way, baby is,
oh yeah,
the
yeah,
director,
yeah.
Rob Zombie's wife.
Yeah. Sherry Moon Zombie. Yeah. Plays.
And,
yeah.
And it's funny that like her butt is hanging out or like she's naked or something, but it's just funny that it's like, what is the point of her pants always falling down?
I don't know.
It's literally just to show her ass. And you can yeah. tell that he's like, yeah, you're just gonna, yeah, yeah. Your pants
more
are just
ass,
gonna,
honey. More yeah, ass. Yeah. Yeah.
So I told my brother this before, but it's hilarious. A friend of mine, when we were young, we're talking 10 years ago, saw Rob Zombie live, and he got home, and I said, how was your concert? And he's like, it was amazing. I got front row. And I was like, man, how was the show? Was it good? And he's like, yeah, the show was good. Yeah, yeah. So his wife was right in front of me dancing on stage in a bikini. And that's all he cared about, was that she was on stage in a bikini dancing. Yeah, she is a good-looking woman.
She's very good-looking.
Not in the first one.
I think like, she's... What are you talking... Okay.
No. See, no. Who she is in the second and third one is more attractive than that. Like that. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, okay.
But we'll talk about that. It's...
So you want to rate them? Give a quick rating?
Yeah.
I could probably guess what it's going
to
be.
You mean just... 1, 2, 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go ahead. Guess mine.
I'm assuming yours is going to be 2, 3, 1?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you really didn't like House of Thousand
No.
Corpses. Okay.
What about you?
This one's tough for me. I like to think that 1 and 2 are really equal for completely different reasons. Like they're two completely different movies with apples and oranges right here. If I had to give a ranking, I would do 2, 1, 3.
Okay.
I think only because I think, and you know what, if you had asked me yesterday, I might have fought more for one, but it wasn't until I saw the third one yesterday, which I've seen it before. I saw it when it first came out, and I really didn't like it then. I liked it more this time.
I didn't really like it really at all.
It was
nonsense. It was unnecessary.
And I agree with you. And that's exactly what I thought of the first time and really this time. All the third one did was show me. It just reminded me how well written the second one was. I thought the second one was so well written and structured and paced, whereas the third one wasn't at all.
That's fair.
And we'll get into why. I have like a lot of theories as to why that is.
Okay.
We'll get into it. But anyway, let's get into it. Next is...
Spoilers.
House of 1,000 Corpses.
Ooh.
You like that?
That was a deep one.
House of 1,000 Corpses. Let's chat.
I hated it. I hated it so much.
So what is it that you hated about it?
I don't like these old movies. I fucking hate old movies. I hate the way they're shot. I hate the way they're done. Hate the way the actresses look. The movies, they're just not good.
Okay, well, let's go through it a little bit. Okay, so no, the movie's not old.
This?
The movie's not old.
Let's, can I say this? Okay. No, I understand that. But the way he filmed it, he meant it to be old.
They all take place in the 70s.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he actually properly did the old movie look. You know what it is? Tell me if I'm wrong, okay?
Okay.
Is this not a perfect side-by-side of how the movie is done to that stupid movie Rocky Horror Picture Show?
I love Rocky Horror Picture Show. What's wrong with that movie?
Fuck you, man. That movie is so dumb. But the two together, they have the same idea, Otis and the main character in that movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and it's
yeah.
the same feeling, the same look, the same way they filmed it, the same everything.
Oh, I guess there is actually a lot of similarities.
Not a fan, man.
Okay.
I don't like Baby, how manic she is. Drives me insane. I don't like Otis. I don't think he...
He's just yelling a lot, it seems like.
I don't know. He's just weird. I don't like it. The mother's fucking odd. The only good one is Tiny.
Yeah.
Who doesn't talk?
Well, I guess, you know what? I was reading something about the trilogy, and so this really isn't a spoiler. So the dad...
Well, we're in spoilers, aren't we?
Yeah. I'm trying... Yeah. Actually, yeah. Sorry.
I was like, wait.
So the father character, he doesn't really do anything the whole movie. He doesn't do anything mean. He yells a lot, but he's very, like, right. passive-aggressive, it seems. Not passive-aggressive, but he's very, like, I don't know. He doesn't do anything. And then he didn't come back for the sequel. The actor died in between movies. So just out of respect, Rob Zombie didn't recast him. He just...
Good for him. Yeah. I hate when they recast.
And he did recast the mother, but that was a different story where the actress decided not to come back. I want to say it was a money thing. I'm not 100% sure, so don't...
But the mother didn't have to be in the second one.
I'm very happy that she's in the second one. That's because she's important. I think she's a very important part of the second movie.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, we'll talk.
We'll talk about that in the second.
Try to put a tab on that in your brain.
Okay. So let's just. I'm really gonna deep dive into this.
Yeah, please.
I love the opening scene of this movie. Anytime I'm writing a horror movie or horror anything like just or conceptualizing something horror. I always go to this opening scene. I think it's so good to me. Where
is that with the guns shooting on the
Yeah. Where it's like Captain Spaulding and his buddy are just talking about nonsense. And then all of a sudden the two guys come in to like rob the place.
Yeah.
And then the two other guys come in and hit him. And I love it. He like pulls out the gun. He's like, and most of all, fuck you. And he shoots him right in the face. It's everything about it. It's so like cool. Like everything, like the way it's filmed, the music, the actors, everything. I'm just a big fan. I think it's cool. And it really, really, it does a really good job introducing you to the world. Lots of fucks, lots of like, they're going to talk about tits this whole fucking time. You know what I mean? Lots of.
Well, he's even sleeping with a prostitute in the movie.
Yeah.
Like not even like an expensive one, like one that you know.
That's the second one though, isn't it?
Was that in the second one?
Yeah, where he's banging the chick. Yeah. Yeah, that's the second one.
I'm getting the three mixed together.
Because the only time you see Captain Spaulding is the opening scene and the end scene. No, that's not true. Opening scene, and then the kids show up, and then he gives them the murder ride. So.
Shut up, that's it?
Yeah, and then.
Am I thinking of the second one that much?
Yeah, the second one's really good.
Wow. I know the murder ride. Oh, we didn't even say it. It's a buddy from The Office. That was weird.
Oh, yeah. Rainn Wilson.
Yeah, that was one of odd.
Rainn Wilson and Chris Hardwick from, like, Talking Dead and stuff like that. Like, you'd recognize him. If you, the Wall. He hosts The Wall right now. That's like...
Yeah.
Anyway, but... Yeah,
earlier you said something, and it was about this movie. You didn't say it about this movie, but it made sense to this movie, where you said... I'm sorry if you can hear the rustling. I'm really cold.
That's okay.
She said... that she is the cat, and she knows she's the cat, and everyone else is the mouse.
Yeah.
And it's that one scene where they, like, have the people, and she runs away, and she's like, let me get her! And then she, like, runs to go get her.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, where it's like,
she's just,
because she's on her own turf.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, 100%.
So she knows her cow pens.
Yeah.
She knows where the exits are. And it's kind of like, if you did not go left, then you're not getting out of it.
Yeah.
Which means I'm getting you.
I like that analogy. That's very true.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's why that works out so much. While in the second one, a major thing happened right in the beginning where now that whole thing is all gone.
Yeah.
So it's like, fuck, right? So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that whole scene though where the house was shot up and they have the metal mat. That's the second one.
That's how the second one opens, yes.
Yes, I remember Dylan watching that scene with me. Never mind. I'm getting all confused now. I'm getting the three mashed together. This happens sometimes.
Okay.
Sorry. I just got to separate them. I'm sorry.
No, you're right.
This is what happens when I watch all three. You watched all three back to back to back.
I watched the back to back to back, but I've seen the first two a lot.
Okay.
I watched the first one.
They would all mash together for me.
No.
Yeah. Pirates did that for me. It was all just one movie.
That wouldn't happen to me if I watched all three movies for the first time. Back to back.
Which happened.
Never happens.
Is what happened for me, right? Because Devil's Rejects, I've seen many times, but there were parts in it that I went, oh, I don't remember this. Oh, I don't remember this either. Oh, and it's kind of like, I remember the major scenes.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's like, I was, like an example of that would be like, if you've never seen The Godfather and you watched all three of those movies, it's like, that's pretty much one long movie. It's like, there's, getting that together would be fucking difficult. Yeah.
The Ocean's movies are like that too.
Yeah, that's a great example.
Like it's all literally just doing one thing, and you're in a casino for 7 hours.
Yeah.
So that's hard for me, right? But anyway, sorry. So you have to keep redirecting me into the lane.
Okay, so let's just go.
No, we don't have to go to the second one. We can still talk about the first one.
No, I'm cool. So the murder ride, which I love, I'm a big fan. Yeah. And then
that opening scene in a store. Because he's like, where do you go to eat this or whatever? And then
he's like, fried chicken.
Fried chicken. He sells fried chicken.
And then they talk about Dr. Satan. That's the whole thing. Oh, Dr. Satan.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. So then they go to find Dr. Satan's tree or whatever. And then they pick up baby. And then the tire blows because Rufus shoots the tire. And that's kind of what starts the whole thing. And then there's that excellent scene where they're driving away. And then Otis and Tiny and everybody are like scarecrows. And they like climb off I love that's such a really it's just visually very, 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 very cool to me.
That whole scene being outside is fucking creepy with the witches kind of feeling.
Yeah, at the very end where they're like, yeah. No,
Oh yeah, that whole scene was fucking odd. We didn't even talk about that.
What's that?
Whenever she's like lifted into the ground.
Okay.
Yeah. What the hell?
So let's talk about it. Okay, so
she's lifted into the ground.
Initially So that was
dropped into the ground.
Yeah, that was a complete reshoot, like that. So Rob Zombie makes the movie, but in his movie, the dad is Dr. Satan, and it's a
shut up.
Yeah, and it's a almost like a ploy. They create a Dr. Satan to get people to come to the tree so they can murder them, and like that's the whole. It's like. Dr. Satan doesn't necessarily exist, but like everybody, but he is Dr. Satan. But after they made the movie, they were like, we don't have an ending. The movie doesn't really, everybody dies. You know what I mean? It's just, so I'm assuming the girl just gets away and then the whole car thing, I'm assuming that's what happens. But so
who hits her with the car?
No, Captain Spaulding picks her up. And then it turns out someone's in the backseat.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So they got a little more money from the company, from the studio, and they made that ending with like they get lowered into the ground and they go to the cathedral and then Dr. Satan's there. And like all of that was like a reshoot. Like they created that after the fact.
What was the point of Dr. Satan the whole time? There was no point, right?
Well, not really. I guess he just runs a cult or something.
And he just tortures people? That's literally the only point?
I guess, yeah. And I guess they bring him people. I was reading up on it and like they were talking about how like Dr. Satan runs a cult. But like Otis and Baby were a part of the cult, but then Otis killed somebody, so he got kicked out. But that doesn't make a lot of sense. Why would they keep bringing in people? I don't know. But anyway, but I'm assuming that's what it is. It's like,
which is funny because I felt like that Dr. Satan thing wasn't part of the movie for me. That was odd.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I felt was left and everything else was right.
Yeah. So
like all the people coming out of the water, like that is right. And then just that Dr. Satan part, I kind of went, oh, that's funny. Because I feel like they would have a hallway full of bones.
Yeah.
And they would have a cathedral made of bone. I can see that.
Okay.
But what was the point of the Satan, right? So what was all those people in the water?
I don't know. So
what did they Rob want Zombie, again? They took something.
They took her. Didn't they take her rabbit outfit off?
Yes.
I don't know. Well, they took him. They took the guy. And brought him to Dr. Satan, and then he like dies.
Yeah, because she found him.
Yeah, so
he was like torturing him in the moment.
I want to say Rob Zombie has come out and pretty much confirmed that the last like 20 minutes of the movie is all in her head. She's like just snapped at that point, and like she just imagines this fantastical world under the ground. I don't know. I'm pretty sure somebody has come out and said that. I think it's super interesting, but I think that also kind of says like, all right, how on board are you like for this movie? Cause it's going to get fucked up. Like, and I'm on board. I liked it. So,
okay.
But I mean, I think the point for that is how, I mean, Buddy getting turned into a fucking merman, like a fish person. Like how, like the second you see that, it's like, all right, that's where we're going. Like, yeah. Like this is, we're getting fucked up here. So, no, I like this movie a lot, but you know, you know,
you know what he has. Stays. I do love Rob Zombie. I have,
yeah,
and I will stand by his movies. He's done great movies,
mm-hmm.
And that is not one of them.
I will admit, the first time I saw this movie, I was in high school. I was either in high school or late elementary school when this movie came out, and I didn't like it the first time I saw it. I watched it with a bunch of friends and all we do is make fun of it. But I wasn't, you know what I mean, as well versed in, I guess, movie theory as
see,
I am now.
But you respect, so.
Yeah.
There's a thing with, like, for example, I knit, right? So when I see like a knitted sweater, to you, it's like.
You're like, oh, look at
who
the
cares? Way. Well, I'm like, oh my God. Like, you have no idea, right?
Yeah, you're like, pianos, look at that pattern.
Pianos do that to me. When I hear someone playing piano and I'm like. And I just love it because I know how much time it took. So anyways, I think it's because you understand the verse more and you understand how much it took to make the movie look like that and to film it like that, that it, maybe you enjoy it more.
Okay,
while for me, it's just irritating.
Sure.
Like Evil Dead, I can't.
I love you.
I can't do it, man. I can't do it. The old, just the, it makes me want to get sick.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like nails on a chalkboard for me.
All right.
But I also am not. Well known in the movie industry. I thought I knew movies very well until we started doing this, and I realized I haven't seen fucking anything. I thought I've seen everything.
Well,
so
that's okay.
It just shows you, right? If you appreciate it more, and I don't.
And that's why, and you know what? Another thing too, I'd point out is this movie was very obviously filmed on a studio. Like,
what does that mean?
It means like it was on the Fox. I want to say it was the not Fox, Universal Studios lot, like. It's very fake. It's like supposed, it's like, I'm trying to think of a way to say it. Whereas Devil's Rejects was filmed outside.
Outside.
That was filmed in the real world. Whereas this is obviously like filmed at Universal Studios.
I had no idea. Yeah. I would have had no idea if you didn't say that. They were outside though for some scenes.
Yeah, but like it's, yeah, but it's still like a studio. It's still like, it's outside.
Did they use the same farm twice then?
No, it's a completely different farm. I think it's supposed to be the same house, but it's not.
Yeah, if I put them side by side.
Oh, yeah, no.
But to me, watching the first one, it looked like it was the same house.
I watched them back to back, too, and I was like, no, that's... Because it wasn't even a farm in the first one.
There was. She ran through the cattle.
That was the second one.
The girl that ran through the cattle and then baby chased her.
She does run through cattle, actually. Yeah, you're
and
right.
And baby chased her and then stabbed her in the chest like four times.
Sorry. Yeah, you're right. Okay, well, anyway, let's go on to Devil's Rejects.
Now you're merging the movies. That was the first one.
Om nom nom. All right, ready to go?
I'm not the one that makes sound. You do.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so cold. Why am I drinking this thirsty? Why is your house cold?
Because I like it that way.
Why?
Because it's way
better.
Why
do you guys want to live in blankets the whole time?
Because I'd rather be that than hot.
Oh, my God. Our house is 22.
I don't even know what that means. I don't...
It's not 0 degrees, that's for sure. We walk in, we can take a sweater off, and it's just t-shirt and jeans weather. It's like comfy. We're not hot, we're not cold, it's just comfy.
Nope.
Once you put on a sweater, it's hot.
I like lots of blankets.
No. Anyways, continue. I would hate to. Do you have a robe?
Yeah.
Do you not wear it?
Sometimes.
We wear a robe 24/7 in our house. We love robes. Anyways, go ahead. I'm going to sneeze. Maybe. No, go ahead.
The Devil's Rejects. Both of us said it's our favorite of the three. Ash, what do you think? What do you want to talk about?
I actually got Dylan to watch this movie with me.
Ooh, did he like it?
He said it was okay. No, he liked this one. It was another movie he thought it was okay. Devil's Rejects has a special place in my heart because there are three endings to movies that I did not see coming that made me super like emotional.
Mm.
And this is one of those movies that I just kind of went and I never forgot the ending because it's just saw one.
Oh, it's a great ending. Yeah.
The Mist.
Oh yeah.
I'd watch that shitty movie all over again just for the ending. And it's funny because both those are the last like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it's this movie.
Freebird. I mean.
It's that. I just got goosebumps. Maybe because I'm cold. But
yeah.
So it's a special place in my heart because now every time I hear Freebird, I literally think of that. And it's the most iconic. Like it's the most amazing scene where they're like.
Fuck it. Yeah.
Fuck it. And they just. Let's go.
I hear you.
I loved it. I love this movie. It was definitely a little more boring than I remember when I watched it this time. I always thought it was a lot more going on.
Okay.
But there really wasn't. It's not. It's a lot of just running.
I think there's a lot going on. The second you introduce the villain, the movie gets interesting. You're talking about you introduce him in the beginning of the movie, like Wydell. But then, like, once he comes back later, you're like, oh, this is really interesting. Yeah. And then there's a lot of running, and then the whole, like, banjo family shit. You're like, okay. And then they go to Charlie's house, like Cutter Spaulding's brother's house.
Yeah.
And the movie gets fucking so good to me. Yeah. Like,
that's the black guy, right?
Yeah. Ken Forey from like Dawn of the Dead and shit like that, right? And that's why I'm like, no, like this movie's really well written, and especially because the villain is super interesting. So you saw should have brought it up with House of a Thousand Corpses, but I didn't. His brother is the cop in the first movie.
Who Rob gets zombies?
No. The villain of this movie.
Oh, is in the movie.
In the first movie, he gets shot. So they completely like tie it. It's like, oh yeah, no. The villain of this movie is the brother of that cop.
Oh,
who's like super fucking pissed that they killed him. And then he does come back in a dream sequence later, just to kind of remind you, like, oh yeah, no, these guys are brothers. But
yeah.
No, I think this movie's fucking interesting. I think it's good.
So why do you think the mother is necessary?
I like, because it gives the villain. So the way he treats her, the villain, it shows how much he's spiraling. At first, he's kind of like, you know, he treats her with a little bit of respect. Like
when she's in jail.
As much as you would.
When she's in jail?
Yeah. And then, like, she keeps fucking with him, but he's like, all right, whatever. I'm just going to keep. And then, like, bad things just keep happening. And then he's like, all right, fuck it. He kills her. And I just like it. I think it's like, anything with her, it's just a way to flesh out the villain. And I think the villain is very strong in this movie.
Oh, okay.
Do you see what I'm saying? And I think he wouldn't be as strong if it wasn't for those scenes.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying? Okay. Yeah. And then I also do like that they explain that all of the characters are based off of Marx Brothers movies. So like Captain Spaulding, Otis Driftwood, Fireflies, like they're all aliases. That isn't their real names. I think that's kind of interesting. That's cool.
They're based off of what?
Marx Brothers movies. So movies from like the 20s. It's like these Groucho Marx and like, they just made these like, almost like Three Stooges like movies.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I knew they had aliases, but I didn't know that's what they were. I missed that part.
They're all based off of old movies. So like, so example, like, so Baby Firefly, her real name is Vera Ellen Wilson. Vera Ellen Wilson. So like, the mom is Eve Wilson and like shit like that. Like they have,
they're actually a family.
Yeah. So, Otis Driftwood isn't a part of the family. He apparently was named after the Marx Brothers character when he was a kid. He killed his parents and then he like was a drifter and he ended up meeting Captain Spaulding and Captain Spaulding took him in and like raised him as a son.
I actually thought him and Baby were like brother and sister.
So they are like they like in an adopted way.
Thought
so
they
did
were.
I. Yeah, but like, but it kind of also explains like he treats her like a little sister, and like he protects her like a brother would a sister, but he also doesn't have a lot of respect for Captain Spaulding. You know what I mean? So it's like he like doesn't treat him like a father. Do you see what I'm saying? So like, I think that's what it is. Whereas Captain Spaulding's name is Johnny Lee Johns. But then when Otis became a part of the family, he's the one that gave them all Marx Brothers nicknames. And that's how that started. So, but yeah, no, I think this movie's fucking excellent. I love the shootout in the beginning. Rufus dies. So Rufus is the character from the first one who shoots out the tire and then like goes to get the tow truck. And at the very end, he's there. He's just a big guy. So he dies at the very beginning. The dad, like I said, was he died in between. So
that whole sushi, that was funny, eh?
You ever see Scary Movie?
Ooh, no. Oh, yeah, but no. Okay. Long time ago.
The Wydell's right-hand man is the guy who plays Doofy.
Oh, I know Doofy.
Yeah, that's the same actor, so that's kind of a funny little bit.
Oh, I didn't even notice. Because isn't it funny? We just watched Scream movies, so
yeah.
I know him right now as... Yeah.
Yeah,
I really like this movie. I love a lot of the key points of the movie. I love like a lot of the scenes.
I think so. The whole Banjo family thing's kind of fucked up. They like keep him in a room, and they like he brings the guys to help him.
Yeah,
unbury some.
Yeah, what the fuck was that guy thinking? He's gonna hit him with a piece of wood.
Oh, I would have done the same thing.
No.
Because like this guy's just gonna kill you.
And
you
I know understand it. That, but he's gonna kill me anyways.
Yeah, but
I would rather just go with him and be like, "Hey, man, beg for mercy."
I'd rather go down swinging. That's just the way I roll. And in the third one, we'll even talk about that even more because there's another scene where I'm like, "What the fuck were you thinking?" But anyway, that scene though between the three guys is my favorite scene of this movie. I think that scene is so good because it's like he tries to get him. But then, of course, Otis is just way better than that. He, like, stabs him with a knife, and then he shoots him. And then he has that, like, moment where he's, like, because the guy's praying as he's, like, and then he's, like, oh, you think God's going to help me? He's, like, I want God to fucking strike me down right here. And then he does that whole, like, oh, and then he stops. He looks down. He's, like, I am the devil, and I'm here to do the devil's business. And then he fucking kills. And it's, like, it's just so like, holy shit. It's such a well-written scene to me. Like, I'm a big fan of it. Like that's a cool scene. That's the scene of the movie to me.
And that was for more guns, right?
Yeah. So they buried some guns in the desert. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Wydell kills the mom. He's all right, we're going to go after him. Hires Diamond Dallas Page and,
Machete?
Yeah, Machete. Fuck. Danny Trejo, which is very important that he hires those two because Danny Trejo comes back in the third one, which is very important. So he hires those two to take him down, and I love that. He's like, we're going to hire some mercenaries, take him down, whatever the fuck they are. Greasy balls.
Yeah.
and they get it done. And it's another really, really good scene. When Charlie fucks him over, Charlie like tells them where they're going to be and like sets them up. And there's that other scene where they're like smoking weed together. And then Wydell shows up and he's like, oh shit. And he's like, if you're going to start the killing, you're going to start right here. It's such a good, and the music's so perfect as they're fighting and getting thrown out the window. It's so good.
But him sniffing coke and sitting on the couch and getting found. Is that the third one?
That's the second one.
That is the second one.
Yeah, Catherine Spaulding's not in the third one. So just think about it that way.
Oh.
And we'll talk about that.
Okay.
But,
yeah, big fan. I totally thought that whole business was in the third one. I don't know why. I really did.
Yeah, no. His brother fucks him over. And then they go to the house at the end and they get like their hands nailed to chairs and shit.
And then Tiny saves them.
Tiny saves the day. Yeah, Tiny saves. Yeah. Because I like that like he hunts her and then he's going to fucking kill her. And then Tiny saves the day. It's like, oh, it's a nice little like, oh shit. Like Tiny's back. I love it.
It is cute.
Tiny goes in the house at the end. It's kind of a weird, like, okay, whatever. It's kind of like a weird.
I find it funny, though, that he's all fucked up because he wasn't a fire.
Yeah.
And then he dies in the fire.
That's a good point. I never thought of
that. It's kind of sad.
It's almost
like
symbolic.
By carrying somebody again. He goes in the fire to carry the dad out, and then he goes back in to carry them out. It's like, aw.
Yeah, really, though.
I guess everybody forgot about Tiny because the cops left. Well, they were chasing her.
Yeah.
She was in the car.
And then a super fucking awesome ending, the Freebird.
Yeah, I'm not a fan that they resurrected that. That's this movie.
That's the end of the movie. That's it.
This movie is perfect as a movie on its own.
Yeah.
If you watched it as the movie on its own, I did that. And I understood everything that was happening. I know they're all family. I got it.
Yeah. No, I agree.
The only difference is I didn't know who the fuck Tiny was. I didn't know what his purpose was in the family.
Yeah.
Other than that, the ending, it was perfect. It was perfect for one movie. It started and it ended and it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to do a third one.
I agree. Speaking of which.
That's your segue.
Three from Hell. Next. That was too excited. Three from Hell.
Right.
Three from Hell. Alright, so right off the bat, let's talk about this movie.
First of all, you should quit your day job.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Never had one lesson. Okay, so.
I love Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Who do socks? Never had one lesson.
Actually, there's a scene. I just watched the scene in How About Your Brother, too, where she's like tap dancing, and he's like, you're a pro. And then, like, she sits down, she's like, I've never tapped it before. He's like, I couldn't tell.
<But like, laughs> You're talking about
Victoria.
Victoria, the baker.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite episode of that show. But anyway.
Someone at work today said a really clever joke, and it was, I said, you're wrong. And someone said, yeah, he's Jon Snow. I'm like, what does that mean? He's like, he knows nothing. And I'm like, that was such a clever, stupid joke. Shut up.
We were partying for my birthday, and our niece was on the couch, and I walked in. And her name's Riley. I don't know why I was trying to hide her name, but it doesn't matter. I was like, Riley sucks. And she's like, you know, at some things I do suck, but I excel at other things.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, what a fucking, like,
Jesus Christ.
What do I say to that? Just take the insult, kid. Like,
just tell me I smell. Let's carry on with our fucking night. I love her. Anyways.
Me too. She's one of my favorite people. Three from Hell. Okay. Three from Hell. Watching it this time, I liked it a little more.
Oh.
However, so, okay, let's really talk about it. Okay. This movie, like, once it was explained to me what happened, it made a lot more sense.
Okay.
Because I watched the movie the first time, and I really didn't like it. I was kind of pissed. I was like, why would they fucking make this movie?
I'm like, why ruin
such a good thing?
Yeah.
And then I kind of read up more. I watched a documentary about the movie itself, and I'm like, okay, you know what? It makes a lot of sense. Okay, so Rob Zombie writes this script, and it's going to be Otis Driftwood, Baby Firefly, and Captain Spaulding again. It's going to be the three of them. Kind of the same thing as Devil's Rejects, but there's going to be like a lot more going on. And then about a couple of weeks before shooting, they bring all the actors in to do, like, photography and shit like that. And Sid Haig, who plays Captain Spaulding, is not looking very good these days. And so they talk about it, and it turns out Sid Haig has some medical issues at this point and can't quite do what he could in the last movie. So Rob Zombie's like, okay, that's cool.
The last movie was
10 years.
It was probably
15 years before that. Yeah,
and so he's not a young.
He wasn't young before. Yeah,
chipper. 15 years ago.
100%. So he takes the script home, rewrites it. You know what I mean? Puts a lot more action in, like, Otis's hands, for example.
Okay,
and you know what I mean.
But Spaulding is still in it.
Yeah. Brings it back. They start, like, doing rehearsals, and then he starts to. And Rob Zombie starts to realize, even though Sid Haig is very much, like, on board, Rob Zombie starts to realize, like, I don't think he's going to be able to do this movie, period. Like, he's getting really, like, he's getting really thin and, like, really, like, weak. So it gets to the point where all they decide to do is film that opening scene. So they film that opening scene with Captain Spaulding. And then, sure enough, Sid Haig dies about a couple weeks later, like, in real life. So the studio gave Rob Zombie a choice. We either shut down production of this movie, or you got one fucking week to go home and rewrite this movie and figure it out. And Rob Zombie's like, I have the money. I'm just going to go try to figure this out.
Why wouldn't he just replace Spaulding's name with somebody else's the first draft that he made.
Sure. I don't know. Well, I mean, that's the thing, though. Even though Sid Haig is only in one scene, I really like this scene. It's probably one of my favorite scenes of the movie. Like, yeah, him just talking to the documentarian. And then they just cut to, he was killed by lethal injection. You know, his captain's, you know what I mean?
Like, at midnight or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. And it's like, and his final words were like, say bye to my family and friends or whatever the fuck they said. Yeah. I like that, actually. So, but apparently the script was very different. So once that happened, he had to rewrite it on the fly, pretty much. And that's why the second half is not nearly as good as...
As the beginning.
Yeah.
Of so, baby in jail and all that. Correct. Okay.
So it's very...
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. Okay. And while I'm watching it, I'm like, okay. So this time watching it, knowing kind of the story, I did like it a little more. However, and here's the thing. This movie came out probably like 2 or 3 years ago. I want to say it was before COVID, so probably like four years ago. And so I didn't really remember it so much. I remembered it, you know what I mean? Like, I remember, like, if you were to ask what happens at the end, I'm like, oh, yeah, they all survive. And, yeah, I remember, you know, that whole thing. But I remember it opens with the documentary and shit like that. But watching it this time, I couldn't remember why I didn't like it. So the movie has me for the first half. I'm like, the first half of this movie, I'm like, this movie's fucking awesome. Why didn't I like this movie? You know what I mean? Like, I love the documentary shit where it's like kind of explaining. And like, Otis Driftwood is pretty much Charles Manson. Mm-hmm. Like, Rob Zombie, even like in an interview in this, that documentary that I watched, he was saying that, he was like, oh yeah, no, that was taken verbatim from like a trial, like a Charles Manson trial. He's like, I remember as a kid or like in high school, he's like, I watched this trial and they just had some guy in the courtroom with a camera and Charles Manson just walks by and just talks to the camera. And it's exactly like they felt he's like, I filmed it exactly like that. Cause it's like, he's pretty much Charles Manson at this point.
That's what would happen.
Yeah. And like all the people are like, they're being framed. Yeah. Yeah, and it's like 100%. Like, so I'm of the opinion they should
release them. Yeah.
I'm like, this is so interesting. And then they don't really do anything with that, unfortunately. But
why would the people say release them? I get it if they're like, oh, they're murderers, but we don't technically have, like, Manson. Their hands haven't touched anything, but they are. But yet in the house, they found all those people.
So many fucking bodies. I don't know. I don't really know.
They were alive. They were all live women in the basement locked up. It's like...
Oh, that's true, too.
That's kind of fucking, like...
I don't know.
Anyways, I'm sorry. Continue.
See, and there's a movie called Natural Born Killers that came out in the 90s that
I haven't seen since I was a kid, probably.
Oh, it's a fucking awesome movie.
I gotta watch that movie. That's Stanley Cooper.
No. Quentin Tarantino actually wrote it. And, really? And Oliver Stone directed it. Although Quentin Tarantino is of the opinion that Oliver Stone butchered it and he doesn't like his name being attached to it. However, I've read Tarantino's script and it's pretty much the same fucking movie. I don't know what he's
talking
about.
Isn't it the black and white one with like a sunglass in the front and it's
colored? He's got the red sunglasses. Yeah. Woody Harrelson. And like he's.
Shut up. Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Fucking amazing in the movie. But that movie's very much. But that movie's very much about the same thing. Where it's like, I mean, spoilers for Natural Born Killers, but they get caught at some point. But it's about the same thing where it's like, even though they're serial killers, it's about how like the public is like in love with them. It's like, oh, being a killer is cool. And like, oh, look how cool they are. It's like, that movie is very much about the same thing. Like that, like they all have groupies and like protests outside the courthouse and shit, like release them, blah, blah, stuff like that. Like, I don't know. But I remember in that movie, there's a scene because their names are Mickey and Mallory Knox. there's a kid being interviewed. He's like, if I was a serial killer, I'd be Mickey Knox. Like, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that. Oh, like, God. It's just like,
but I know her. I know her as an actress.
Oh, Juliette Lewis. She, oh no. Yeah. Juliette Lewis. From Dusk Till Dawn.
Doesn't help me. I know her and I could picture her. She looks like the type that would play that part, but I can't picture her in another movie. But anyways,
I don't know. She's in a lot. She's in like Due Date. She's in, I don't know.
It's all good. Go ahead.
Anyway, sorry. But yeah, Three from Hell. So yeah, it has an opening premise that's pretty cool, but they just lose me once they go to like, they all get, once they get out. Okay, first of all, and then they do this whole thing with, in the middle with the warden, where they kidnap his family. And I'm like, this is pretty much the whole Banjo thing from the second one. The Banjo family from the second movie.
Yeah.
It's done again. And it's just like, okay, all right. And then they go to Mexico and I'm like, okay. And then they reintroduce, so it was important, Danny Trejo earlier.
Yeah, because Machete.
At the very beginning of the movie, when Otis is breaking out, he kills Danny Trejo. Because Danny Trejo is the one who took him down in the second one. So he's like, do you remember me? And Danny Trejo's like, no. He's like, I remember you. He's like, you'll remember me.
You'll remember me.
Yeah, and then he kills him. And it's important because Danny Trejo's son ends up being the villain of this movie, but it's not very well set up. I feel like they could have set it up.
And he's wearing a mask and stuff.
Like, yeah, it's kind of dumb. I feel like they could have set it up earlier in the movie. I don't know. It would actually make... Here's the thing. I don't understand why they created like a new villain in Danny Trejo's son, especially because they have Diamond Dallas Page from the second movie.
Oh, that's a good point.
Like, you have Diamond Dallas Page and Danny Trejo are buddies. They work together. If one of them gets killed, you'd think the other one would be the main villain, right? Like, and that would be
where did the other one go?
They never say. It's like, well, how, like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, that would have been cool if Diamond Dallas Page was like, oh yeah, no, he's pissed that they killed Danny Trejo. Like, I would like that. That'd be cool. And he's a fucking like a bounty hunter or whatever the fuck he is. So like, it would make sense for him to want to hunt them down.
Yeah,
and he could have been the new White Owl. Like, I would have been cool to see Diamond Dallas Page do that. Like, but
we were talking about that earlier with Spider-Man. There's a villain that's like, I'm a bounty hunter for people, but Spider-Man is like the one that's never been caught.
Oh, you're talking about Kraven the Hunter. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like kind of like that idea where it's like, no one's ever been able to catch these people.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be the one
to catch
and possible to do it.
That's a cool idea that's a cool villain character right there. Like,
I just don't think, okay, I loved, we are back to Manic Baby in the first one, but it's like a more, she's more badass though in this one.
Yeah.
But she's fucking lost it in that.
Oh, hospital. She's a loony.
Yeah, bit. In like that interview where they're like, she's fucking missing. And then she breaks the chick's nose and you're like, there she is. Like,
yeah,
there
she yeah. is.
But you know what? I do wish there was a fight opportunity that I think wasn't taken. And it was that when the one chick with a broken nose order those two people to kill her.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you show that fight? That would have been so fucking epic.
I guess it's to show, I guess it's to make it look like she's getting beat up.
We obviously know she's not.
I know, but
that's the problem.
And I do like that. And then, but then they have, okay. And then the movie fucking, so it's funny you say that they don't show that, but they do show this like horrific fucking machete fight at the end between Otis and the guy. And it's so fucking stupid.
Where he gets like his head cut open and stuff.
Yeah. It's so dumb.
But I don't understand how Otis would have. Okay. Like,
It's not like he's Otis is a kung fu master. It's like, it's like, what are we doing here?
Okay. Hear me out. Okay. We're going to go back to another movie reference. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Imagine giving Go-Go her weapon from Kill Bill and giving somebody else the same weapon and being like, killer.
Yeah.
If anyone doesn't know, it's that sphere that's covered in spikes. I don't know what it's called.
It's like a mace but not a mace. I don't know. It's like a ball
It's
chain.
Insane, though. But if you look up that fight, it's like, you chose the machete, which means you are proficient in the machete.
Yeah.
Then you give some, you know, backwoods alley dirty fucking guy who's never held one probably, and you're telling him to fight you, and You know what I mean? Like, and that's how the fight goes? Like, it doesn't make sense.
It's so, I don't know. It's so weirdly anticlimactic. It's like...
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe if you both were hands to hands, maybe that'd be more of a fair fight. But you're giving this man a machete that you're supposed to be fantastic at. Yeah. And...
He kicked your ass.
It was literally a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Not even.
Yeah, it's kind of bad. I don't know. I will say, you know, if there is one character that I think does make the movie, like, pretty cool, I'm a big fan of the Midnight Wolfman, Richard Brake. He's
not a fan. I don't know why he's in it.
Well, that's because they had to have a third person, but not really, though.
Why?
And that's, why not just have the two of them?
Why?
It would actually make more sense if there was only two of them.
In the ending, they only needed two of them.
Yeah, and it would actually make more sense if the two of them, because it's like, it could be a movie about how they're lost without their dad. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, that is really cute.
Like the three of them were unstoppable, you know, and except for the very end, they got shot.
Yeah, and then...
But when they're, it's just the two of them, it's like, he can't control her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like... It's like they don't know what to do. Like, I think that would have been an interesting thing to explore.
Yeah, we never even talked about that. Why would you resurrect three people that are dying that you've shot to kill?
I guess you legally have to.
No, I don't think you do.
I think, yeah, no.
Serial killers, and you shot them in their car coming at you?
We're not supposed to kill. Police are not supposed to kill people.
They were shooting at you.
No, and that's the thing. You're supposed to disarm them. That's, if you're shooting somebody, you're shooting back to disarm them, to stop them from shooting at you.
God.
And if they die, which they normally do, that's their fault.
That's,
they shot at you.
That's fucking ridiculous.
But once they're unconscious, you're supposed to legally resuscitate them.
That whole fucking idea is just like ridiculous.
This is also the 70s, though, where it's like, I don't think the police would.
It's like, fuck, man. Like, you guys shot these people down, and then you... put him in an ambulance and you brought him to a hospital to, and then you kill one by lethal injection. It's, yeah, like, what the fuck is going on?
Especially,
and of course they escape and they kill more. Yeah. And then you have to say, oh, everything's okay. We got under control. It's just dumb.
Especially when you know how horrific they are. Yeah, it's true.
That's
one where, like, the whole world would be like, just let him die. Yeah.
But no, you have all those protesters.
That's a good point.
Like in here, that's like, oh my God, baby forever.
Yeah, I don't know. This movie's...
We're from, man, Canada. Hi, Fireflies.
We don't protest.
We drove here often. From Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, this movie is... It's okay. It's all right.
Not a fan.
It's,
yeah.
It's not as good as the first two by any means.
It was pointless. The movie was so unbelievably pointless.
Mm-hmm.
Especially 10 years later.
What, I think it was like 15.
Is,
yeah,
the point?
I agree.
No, well, you gotta remember it was 5 years ago, 4 years ago.
That, oh, that's a good point. That's
even
good point.
Filmed, right?
There's
no point. Just let it go.
It's true. And I don't want to end on a negative note, so let's try to keep it a little more positive. But, like,
I did love the second one.
The second one
is in my heart.
So good. And you know what? If it was its own movie, it's like,
that'd be a great movie.
Maybe it'd be pretty good, because it's like, yeah, I don't know. I like the second one a lot. I like the first one a lot. I don't know. I kind of wish they just kind of left it, but
at least the second one, if it was its own movie, there's not many movies that are like that, that are just introduced major serial killers, showing them just dicking around and then dying.
It's true.
It's like,
and I just,
whoa.
See, I love just the balls it took to, like, let's make a horror movie. It's like, let's take those characters and do something different. Like, I love that. That's,
yeah,
so cool to me. And then this, and you know what? This movie would have even worked for me, Three from Hell, if they did something completely different.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so we did a horror movie, we did a Western, let's do something else. I don't know what. I have no fucking clue.
Which might have been the original script.
Maybe.
But now we want to know what the original script was.
Very curious.
Because when Quentin did that with Hateful Eight, the first script was much better.
No, the first, it was just different. It wasn't that much different, though.
The movie was terrible.
I didn't like Hateful Eight either.
But it's just a lot of talking. But maybe if they did the first script, maybe it wouldn't have been as... I don't know.
No, it's still the same.
Nappy?
Yeah, it was just long. And, like, we're on a completely different movie now, but, like...
I know.
Yeah, but it's, like, I feel like the first two chapters of that movie... Three chapters. Two... When do they get to the haberdashery? Is that's three. That's chapter three, right?
No idea.
whatever chapter the haberdashery is, where they get there and all the characters are there, that's when the movie should have started. Having all this other bullshit before,
yeah,
it's just bullshit. It doesn't. Yeah. You're just introducing shit that doesn't fucking matter. You should, if you wanted to make a movie that's a murder mystery, or like a mystery of some sort, where it's like, it's almost like, it's pretty much Reservoir Dogs again, where it's like, okay, we have a criminal and someone is here that's trying to let them free.
Yes. Who and is there's it? Eight of us in a cabin. Let's figure it out.
Yeah. I would have loved it if Kurt Russell showed up with her and Sam Jackson and the other guy were already there.
Yeah.
Or maybe they showed up later, but like, add more characters to the pot and make it. See, the problem with that movie, spoilers for Hateful Eight, like a little spoilers, a lot of the characters were involved. And I'm like, make it less characters. Make it one.
I know you had this much feelings about it. I wouldn't have brought it up. Like, you're so angry.
It's like he tried to do Reservoir Dogs again, and it shit the bed on it. And it's like, why would you try to do Reservoir Dogs again? I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get out of here. Thank you for listening. Fucking, okay, so Devil's Rejects, fucking awesome. Number one, it's amazing. It's the best Rob Zombie movie by far. House of Thousand Corpses is an easy second. He's made a lot of awesome movies. Halloween, fucking Lords of Salem. Yeah. Even 31 is okay. And Richard Brake's fucking... If you're going to watch 31, watch it for Richard Brake. He's the shit in it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You guys haven't seen it, but I trust you.
Oh, it's... Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Bye.